Appreciate you.
Scripture says that when the Lord ascended up on high, He led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. He gave pastors and teachers, such as He's given you, a gift. The greatest gift that God can give to a people is the gospel of His Son, and He does that through preachers. And a man who preaches the truth is himself a gift of God. And the Lord also gifts those men, gives them gifts. And you have a gifted pastor, don't you? In so many ways. He doesn't want to hear this, but I'm too bad. He's a gifted man. I admire him. I do, in every way. Mindy and I were talking about how we like the way he does things, like the way he conducts himself, like the way he conducts his service. And he made this very pulpit and this table. I was admiring that this morning. And the Lord's gifted you. The Lord gets the glory for it. I couldn't help, Brother Chris, but think about what a wonderful carpenter he must have been. Didn't need a ruler. Did he? No, sir. Perfect. Would you turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12? Hebrews 12. While you're turning, let me thank you again. Sincerely thank you on behalf of Mindy and myself. Thank you for your hospitality, food, and all the hard work that's gone into this. Hebrews chapter 12, read with me the first two verses. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is, right now, is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, these verses are a conclusion to chapter 11, which gives many examples of men and women just like us who lived and died in the faith, lived by faith and died in the faith. He says a great cloud, very many witnesses. If you put them all together and looked at them from afar, it looked like a cloud, dense cloud, so many people. So he says, let us, those of us who believe by his grace, who have this gift of faith as these people, let us do the same. That's what these verses are about, an exhortation. Looking unto Jesus, it says, the author and finisher of this faith, the faith, our faith. Now, this is no mere motivational message to tell you that you can do it. Not at all. Let me tell you what faith is. Faith is looking unto the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what this says. Without whom we can do nothing. Not something. Nothing. Nothing. Looking unto means to believe. To believe Him. To trust Him. To depend upon Him. Looking to Him. Depending on Him to save you. That is faith. That is saving faith. I can't make it any simpler. That's it. Faith is looking unto Him. He's called the author, the one who begins it, and the finisher, the one who ends it. The one who hath, Paul wrote, begun a good work in you. If this work of salvation is in you, He's the one that began it. And He's the one that will finish it. It's all completely in Him. The author, He's God, the author. He's the one who wrote the book of life. And He's man, the finisher. The man God sent to do this work, who fulfilled this book, every jot and tittle. Looking unto Jesus. Very simply. Very simply. Looking unto Him is to see Him. See Him as your everything, as your all, as your righteousness. If you're going to get into the presence of a holy God, it's going to be in Christ, your righteousness. Is that right, Dave? It's completely covered in Him. Your sin offering, Passover, that we heard about the other night. Christ is the Passover lamb. He is the lamb. Everyone must have a lamb. To look unto Him is to see Him as your prophet. Our Lord is called the prophet, priest, and king. And He's called Jesus here. He's referred to as Jesus because He did all those things in His manhood, didn't He? As a man. He's the prophet. The woman at the well said, well, when Messiah has come, He'll tell us all things. He's that prophet. She was referring to that prophet of whom Moses wrote. Moses said, a prophet will the Lord, capital P, will the Lord raise up. He'll tell us all things. Well, that woman said, when He comes, He'll tell us all things. A prophet. We won't need another prophet after Him. He'll tell us everything. Our Lord said, I'm He. Don't need another prophet. He's the priest. Prophet. He's the priest. Looking unto Him is to look to Him as the priest, the only mediator. He's the one we confess our sins to. We heard about last night. All our sins to Him. Why? Because He's the only one that can take them away. No mere man can forgive us our sin. So we don't confess them to men. They have their own sins they must confess. But this man, Jesus, is the priest to confess to and offer up this sacrifice to God that God will accept. He's the king. He's the king. Like the thief on the cross said, remember me. You're the king. It's your kingdom. If I get in there, you're going to have to let me. Would you remember me? Would you allow me to come into your kingdom? He said, I will. And so He will to all who look to Him, who ask Him. And if here He's the author and the finisher. If you believe, if you have this faith in Him, it's because He gave it to you. By grace are you saved through faith, and that is not of yourselves. It's a gift from this one. He gives it to you. And if you keep believing, if you die in the faith, you're kept by Him. You'll keep believing because He kept you. He kept you. That's what it means to look unto Him. Now let me illustrate that a little bit. I have an old dog named Abner. And he's old now, about 13 years old. And I chose him. I purchased him. I trained him. I taught him. And even after all that and after all these years, he still is just a poor, ignorant old dog. I am his everything. I'm everything to him. He could not live without me. When I go out in the morning, he's waiting on me. And he's looking not at me. I see him. He laid on the porch all night long. When I walk out there, he sits up and he's looking to me. Waiting for me to give him everything. He won't be fed if I don't feed him. He won't be led if I don't lead him. He's so old now. And he loves, you know, our dogs love trucks. He loves that better than life, to ride in the back of my truck. He's so old now, Jim, he can't get in the back of my truck. I have to pick him up and put him in the back of my truck. He looks to me for everything. He's looking unto me. He's waiting on me. I'm his all and in all. He doesn't know anything, Tommy. He doesn't have a clue what I'm going to do next. In fact, I'm sure he often wonders, where is he going now? But he trusts me. He trusts me completely. I'm his wisdom. I'm his everything. He's looking unto me. He trusts me. And after all these years, I will in no wise cast that old fella out. No way. Though he's just a dog, I love him. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher. That's how we look unto our Lord. Worship, you know, the word worship actually means just that. Like a dog licking his master's hand. I know you've looked that up, Brother Crib. Maybe you've already said that. But that's true. You know, the Canaanite woman, you remember the woman whose daughter was vexed and she came to the Lord beseeching him to help her? Remember that? Well, the Lord said, it's not right to give the children's bread to dogs. And she said, truth, Lord. She's saying, I'm your dog. If I get anything, I'm going to have to get it from you. I'm looking to you like a dog would look to his master. And our Lord said, oh, woman, great is thy faith. That's faith. That's faith. Look unto him. To see him. See him as our everything. And he says here in verse 1, he says, seeing this great cloud of witnesses, people just like you and me, who bore witness to the sovereign power, the sovereign providence, the mercy, the saving grace of this same one. Every one of these persons in the Old Testament looked to the same person. They looked to, though he hadn't come yet, though they didn't know his name was Jesus, they looked to the same person. Every one of them. Beginning with Abel. Beginning with Adam. They looked to the same person. Often we miss a blessing when we look at Scripture, Old Testament especially. And look at these names, like in the book of Numbers and so forth, people we might not know, but you need to look at them as actual people who lived on this planet, and they were just like us, men and women, husbands and wives, fathers and mothers, sons and daughters, people just like us, who walked in this world just like us, common people, common sinners, saved by looking to the same Lord, fathers, mothers, and so forth, that struggled with sin, struggled in this world just like us. Just like us. No different. Didn't have any special privileges. But looking to the same one, and they were saved from their sins and saved from this present evil world by looking to the same Lord that we must look to. Real people. Real people. Without him, they could do nothing. It tells these things that look at verse chapter 11, verses 33 and following. We look at these amazing things that people went through. Verse 33, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, like old Daniel, you know, thrown in the lion's den. We think these were great people. No. No. We've already said without him, they could do nothing. They're ordinary people, but they had a great Lord. A great Lord. Same Lord we had. Without me, he said, you can do nothing. A man can't walk on water. Can he? A mortal man cannot. It's humanly impossible. I don't care how hard he tries. He can't do it. Simon Peter walked on the water. How? looking to the Lord Jesus Christ. When the Lord bid him, he gave him the ability. But it wasn't in him. It was by looking. He derived his ability and all the power from the one he was looking to. The Lord didn't say, try real hard, Simon. You can do it. The rest of you can too. If you try real hard, don't believe it's water. Just let your mind over matter. No. No. All his ability, all his power, all everything he received from the Lord. The virtue went out from the Lord, enabled him to do what he could not do. Same with all these, because he gets all the glory. All of it. The Lord Jesus Christ. Let's look at a couple of these examples here in chapter 11, okay, of faith. And then we're going to look at this race that all of us must run, he said. Begins with Abel. So by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice, blood, more excellent than Cain. Abel was one of, as we said, these are common, ordinary people just like us. This was one brother, one of two brothers. Maybe there were more. We don't know. Could have been. But one of two brothers who were raised by the same parents, taught the same thing. Adam and Eve taught both of these sons. They heard the truth. And one believed and one didn't. Right? Abel believed and Cain didn't. Why? Abel would testify, he would tell you that he believed by the grace of God. He would testify to the truth that salvation is a revelation from God. I have a brother who does not believe this gospel, rejects it. Who made me to differ? And there was a long time that I didn't believe this gospel. I rejected it, thought it was foolishness. But one day, like Abel, one day, he believed. He didn't decide to believe. Someone had already decided that a long time ago. You will believe. Jacob have I loved. Jacob have I chosen. Jacob will I give faith to. Jacob will I keep by my power. Jacob have I loved. He's mine. Esau, have I hated. Salvation is of the Lord. Abel would testify to the fact that salvation is by the sovereign electing grace of God and a revelation of His Spirit. Abel brought blood. And Abel is a testimony, a great cloud of witnessing. He would tell you that you'll be persecuted for the truth's sake. That those of your own household will be your enemy. Right? Anybody in here have a brother or sister who you try to tell the truth to and they hate you for it? Anybody? And Abel did. The man in our church was one day reading Romans 9 to his sister, who is a very religious lady. He was reading Romans 9, merely reading Romans 9 to her. She got angry with him. And she said, you're saying to me that I'm not saved. That's what you're saying. He said, I didn't say anything to you. I just read you God's word. That's all Abel did. Cain, God said, bring the blood. Don't bring your works. Mom, Dad taught us that. We've heard the truth from the beginning. They said, bring the blood. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. Cain, you know better. You've been taught better. Bring the blood. It's only the blood. Not the best we can do. God won't accept that. Cain got mad. He said, I don't believe that. Anybody else? Who made you to differ? See, this faith is a gift of God. It's a gift of God. Testimony. Enoch. What about Enoch? Verse 5. Enoch, it says, was translated. That is, walked out of this world. Walked right on into the presence of God. You'll read the story of Enoch, back in chapter 5 of Genesis. He lived 365 years. And it says that he walked with God. 300 years. I think that's how long he walked. Actually, 300 years. 300 years. And he's a youngster compared to Methuselah and some of them. But he had a wife. He's a real man. He had a wife. He had many children. He had many children. Brother Chris, you ever thought about the fact that he could have had 25 teenagers in his house at one time? Talk about problems. How many chariots did he have to provide the kids? This is real. Jobs. How many jobs did he have to work? Did he have struggles? Did he have worries? Did he have problems? 300 years. He lived in a sinful world among sinful people right before the flood. God looked down and said, it's a wicked place. He lived there. He walked with God. He worshiped God. He believed God. He called on God. He believed God in the face of a world that rejected it, his God. And he did it for 300 years. How? Looking unto the Lord Jesus Christ. The only way. You reckon old Enoch thought, how long is this going to go on? How much longer? We live a short 70, don't we? And we think, how long, O Lord? Like David, how long, O Lord? I can't make it another day. All these troubles. What? Look into the Lord. Look into Him. One day, old Enoch went to work. It may happen to you, Brother Jimmy. He walked on to work. See you, honey. She didn't see him again. He walked on into glory. And that's going to happen to every one of God's people. One day, walk on into glory. That's right. Your mother did. Just walked on into glory. How did Enoch walk with God in the midst of this wicked world? By looking unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Not as an example, mind you, but looking unto Him for everything. His strength, His grace, His provisions, His preservation, His wisdom, His righteousness, His everything. And time would fail me, like the writer of this book says, time would fail to mention all these people. All these people. My, my. So he says, let us, or as someone might say, shall we? Let us. Come on. Let us. Verse 1 of chapter 12 says, let us lay aside every weight. Let us put away, put aside anything that hinders us from worshiping God, from this walk with God, like a weed it. Anything that is detrimental to this walk of faith, this race of faith, lay it aside, put it aside. It can wait. That's what, lay it aside. Hindrances and so forth. The sin and the sin which does so easily beset us. What is that? That's unbelief. Unbelief that we're all so easily beset with. We sing the song all the time, prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Ready to halt, David said. I'm ready to halt. You reckon old Enoch was ready to quit? All the time. Worries, doubts, fears, that's just so easily beset up. You know, we can turn on the news, and we can hear the gospel for years, and turn on the news, and two buildings fall, and oh, two buildings fall, and think, oh no, terrorists are going to kill us all. Come on. How could you be so unbelieving? Oh, ye of little faith. The Lord kept telling His disciples, oh, ye of little faith. Have I been so long time with you and showed you so many things and proven myself to you so much that at the drop of a hat you could be beset so easily with unbelief? Look to me. Don't look at these other things. Look to me. Look to me. I'm God. Beside me, there's none else. That's what he read, didn't it? I'm the Lord. I do all these things. Nobody does anything except what I allow or what I direct. Is that just a doctrine or is it the person? A doctrine won't give you faith. But look into a person. Look unto me. Be ye saved. You know, that's the same person. The one who said that in Isaiah 55 is the same person, the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, look unto me. Same one later on said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. Same one. Same God. Same yesterday, today, and forever. Look unto me. I'm God. And I'm a man. So he says in verse 1, let us run with patience. Let us run with faith. Let us. Over in chapter 10 of Hebrews, it says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith. Over in chapter 3, it says, let us hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. And he says in chapter 10 also, let us exhort one another. Don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some men, but exhorting one another. So much more as you see the day approaching. Exhort one another. Let us, he said, let us run. Now these verses came to my mind when I began running, jogging, not long ago. My wife talked me into to start running with her. And something I never thought I'd do. No way. I remember Brother Todd ran and still run. And he would try to get me to do it, and I'd just scoff at him. I said, that's for sissies. Out there in their little shorts. That's for sissies. You'll never catch me doing that. Well, lo and behold, I'm doing it. But I thought about that, too. I would not be in this race. I would not be standing right here before you. This is something I never thought I'd be doing. In fact, as a young man, a young unbeliever, I remember telling one of my friends, and I'm so ashamed of it now, but just to show you the grace of God in my life, I remember telling one of my young friends that I could disprove everything my dad ever preached. A bunch of old-fashioned nonsense. I know more than that. I was one of these, you know, raised in the 60s, one of these enlightened, gaze at your navel, you know, one of these, where you learn everything looking at your navel. Don't ask me about that. Anyway. Anyway, I never thought I'd be doing this. I never thought I'd be running. But anyway, these verses came to mind. And started doing that. And he says, let us run. Let us run with patience. Let us. All of us. Let us run. This is urgent. Today is the day of salvation. Today. There may be no tomorrow, right? Run. Run. It's not a stroll in a park. It's not a game. It's not a game. You're running. Running from something, and you're running to someone. Running from something. Old John Bunyan's Pilgrim, the Pilgrim's Progress, that he was leaving, fleeing the city of destruction. Save yourselves, Peter preached at Pentecost, from this untoward generation, from the city of destruction. You see yon wicked gate? Huh? Run. Just as fast as you can. Make no tarrying. Run. And that pilgrim, he says he was running out of that place. And people were his wives and his children and his friends and his neighbors were all hollering at him and laughing at him, scoffing at him. Put his fingers in his ears, it said. Put his fingers in his ears while he was running toward that celestial city, toward that wicked gate, which is a picture of Christ. He put his fingers in his ears, crying the whole time, life, life, eternal life. No matter what anybody said, run. Run. Flee to Christ. Flee to that refuge, that city of refuge. We're running. Running from something to someone. It's a race. They say, run this race. Race, not recreation. It's not a contest. And not a contest. This race, this word race, doesn't mean a contest. They're not racing other people. No, that's not it at all. That's not what that means. The word race here means a group, means there's a lot of people in it. That's what the word means. There's a lot of people. You see how many people have run this before you. See, that's what it means. Not racing people. If you begin to look at other people, you'll quit. If you look at, because there's some faster, some people have more faith than you do. If I look at Noah, if I look at Moses, I get discouraged, actually. I say, I don't have that kind of faith. Well, don't look to him. Don't look to him. You'll quit if you look to people as your encouragement or look to people to help you. You'll quit one way or another. You'll see they're too fast, I can't do that, and you'll quit. Or you'll look and say, well, they quit. He quit, so I will too. Peter, Simon Peter, remember? His buddies looked to him. See, Peter said, I'm going fishing. They said, well, we'll go with you. He quit. Don't look to him. You look to somebody to help you, preacher, whoever it may be. What's going to happen when he falls? You'll quit. Don't look to him. Don't look at people. It's not examining ourselves by people. Looking to them. It says, let us run with patience. With patience. This is not to the swift. This race is not to the swift. This is an endurance race, as it were. Endurance race. Not to the swift. We run with patience, waiting on the Lord. This race that is steadfast, set before us. This race that is set before us. Mindy and I have a particular track that we run on in a county park where we go, a county park with this path. This one path is marked well. It tells you how far it is, and around this field, this path. And there are many other paths that go off of this path up into the woods. But unless you keep on that path, you'll miss the mark. The mark. If you go off on any other path, it'll take you into the wood. You could get lost. Christ said, I am the what? The truth and the life. This race that is set before the way, looking unto Him and Him alone. Him and Him alone. I am the way, Christ said. And He is the prize. He's the gold. When racing, Paul wrote this earlier. He said, I'm not running uncertainly, nor fighting as one that beats the air, shadow boxing. He said, I'm not running uncertainly. I have a goal. And over in Philippians, he said, this one thing I do. This is the one thing needful. I press toward the prize, toward the mark, for the prize of the high calling of God. That's where? In Christ Jesus. He's the prize. He's not only the one we look to for all salvation, for all power, but He's the prize. He's the goal. He's our aim. To be with Him. To be with Him. Our little track that we run on, it finishes. There's a mark at the end of this track that we shoot for. And it's what we're running for. And what it is, at the end of this track, the mark is a porta potty. A porta john. That's what we're running to. That's our goal.
If we can make it to that, we've made it. I thought, seriously, I'd be running around this track and it's like, just make it to the job. But, you know, that thought occurred to me. That's exactly what people in this world are running for. You take everything in this life, whatever it is you strive for and run after and go after, that's what it ends up. Dung. What are you running for? Well, just have this or have that. It's going to end up dust. Dung. Useless. What a useless goal. I can make it to the John of the road. I thought, how fitting. How fitting. Oh, my. Christ is called the pearl of great price. In fact, one time a woman told me that. She said, I was talking about preaching on the Lord Jesus Christ, that pearl of great price. And she met me at the door and she said, you forgot to say what all we have to give up to have that pearl. I said, you mean dung? You mean we had to trade dung? A pearl? Yeah, like we've really given something up. Shoot. Nothing. Paul said, I count all this but rubbish, trash, dung, for the excellency of the knowledge, the unsearchable riches of God. We'll see someday, won't we? Said, the former things, these former things will not be remembered, won't even come to mind, like dung. Like done. When we see Him. When we're with Him. Here's a few things to note about this race and then I'll quit. Our Lord is an unseen Lord, isn't it? Whom having not seen, you love. We can't see Him. When we're on our little track, you know, there's often times we can't see the porta potty. It's out of sight. We go into an area where it's dark and the sun's not shining and it's in a curve and I've got my back to the finish line. And that's when I think I can't make it. But I know it's there. I wish I hadn't said that now. I can't get that John out of my head. But I know it's there. I know it's there. And our Lord, He said, lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the earth. He is right now set down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. The Lord Jesus Christ. There is right now man in glory. Not a figment of our imagination. He's not a cunningly devised fable. He's a real person. This is not mysticism. This is fact. This is fact. Fact, the things we see now are temporal. The unseen things are eternal. And real. This is all a soap bubble. With unseen world, that's real. See Him and looking unto Him. You remember the people over Numbers that were bitten by the serpents? And Moses, the Lord told Moses to tell them to look unto that brazen serpent on that pole, which represents the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, some were bitten, some were in the last stages of dying, weren't they? Some were laying on the ground. Some couldn't see that serpent on the pole. They couldn't see for the crowd, couldn't they? Like the woman, you know, with the issue, couldn't see for the crowd. But look anyway. Look. We look with the eye of faith. Though we can't see Him, look to Him. He's there. This race is sometimes uphill. Sometimes down. Our Lord said, you must, through much tribulation, enter the kingdom of heaven. Trials, difficulties. And yet they're good times, thankfully. He won't give you more than you're able to bear, but will give you pleasant paths at times. But not always. Not always. Only one way. In the pain, in the suffering, in the trial. Look to Him. Look to Him. Only one. It's often mundane, isn't it? Mundane. I remember Mindy, wanted me to go running with her. Okay, I'll run. That sounds like fun. Go about 100 yards, you know. I was ready to quit. And got through that first day, and then the next day or whenever it was, she said, "You ready to go running again?" "Again? You mean again?" "Yeah, and again, and again, and again." Like old Enoch. Every day, day in, day out, same thing. Go to work, come home. Go to work, come home. Feed your kids, wash your clothes, come home. Mundane. Every day the same. How? This is the where the Lord's put you. And you're serving His purpose. And you're His servant. And you do what you do, whatever your hand finds to do, looking unto the Lord. As unto the Lord. And looking to Him. Unto Him. Monday. Here's good news. Often, as with our little course, the finish is faster. Years are flying by, aren't they? It's flying by. As I said, I'm a grandfather now. That's unbelievable to me. Just unbelievable. I still feel like I'm 18 years old. But life is a vapor. It has gone by. And in the last years, the last of the years, your older years, they go by like years seem like days, don't they? You older people, tell me. Don't they seem like days? Clipping off like days? Teach us to number our days, Scripture said. They're flying by like days until it's over. Almost as soon as it started. Oh. And then what? Then what? Rest. Rest. That's what we're looking for. Eternal rest. No more running. Seated with Him in glory. Rest. All of these people have entered into His rest. Are seated with Him in glory. Every one of these people, Brother D, every one of these people, people just like us, have run this race just like us with all the same problem. Maybe a little longer, maybe a little less. The same way by looking unto Him. One way. He says, let us exhort one another. So much more as you see the day approaching. Brother Donnie Bell came to visit me years ago, and when I first moved to Rocky Mount, and he's a runner now. And when I talked about running, Brother Todd asked me, "How far are you running?" So you don't want to compare yourself to others. I said, "I'm up to a mile and a half now." I could see him go smirk. How long do you think he'd last with one of these Olympic runners? Somebody better. Somebody faster. Don't look to them. Don't laugh at anybody else either. But anyway, Brother Don came to visit. And there's a place near us called the Peaks of Otter. And it's a beautiful mountain range and park, state park. Peaks of Otter, River Otter. And I heard about it, never been there. Told him, "Let's go look, let's go see it. There's a mountain there, and I hear the view from the top is just beautiful. We'll walk up, hike up that mountain." He said, "Okay, great." So we went. Just before he was running, and me too. And we went there. And there it is, big mountain. So we started out. We took off, both of us together. And we're all fresh and relaxed, you know, just walking and talking about the Scripture and the Gospel and the whole way. And we're walking all along and starting getting tired. So I feel. Starting to get tired. Donnie looked at me and said, "How much further do you think it is?" I said, "It couldn't be too far. Come on, there's a sign. There's a sign right there. Let's go. We can make it today." We walked on to the sign, and there's a sign. The sign said, "You've come 1/4 mile. You have another mile to go." Donnie said, "Let's go back. There's a bus. You can take a bus up that mountain." I said, "No, no, let's go on. We can, I was exhorting. No, let's not do that. Come on. Come on. Brother, we can make it. So, Brother Jim, we walked on, you know, kept talking the way, and it, you know, passed the time wonderfully. We're talking about the scriptures, talking about the gospel the way you do, you know. And we were talking, and finally, after a little while, I said to Donnie, I said, let's go back. Let's take the bus. He said, no, come on. That's what exhorting one another. Come on. And this happened all the way up through. He'd want to quit, and I'd want to quit. We exhorted one another till finally we got to the top of that mountain. And sure enough, you could see for 360 degrees all the way around. You could see, I forget how far, well, as far as the horizon goes, 50, 60 miles in every direction. It was the most glorious sight to behold. And you know, we were tired, but we immediately forgot all about it. Forgot all about the climb. I'm looking at that gorgeous view. That's the way it's going to be with us. That's the way it's going to be. Looking unto Him, author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, despised the shame, is right now set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Looking unto Him, lest you be wearied and faint in your mind. Okay. May the Lord bless you.
Well, that encourages me not to quit, doesn't it, you? Let's keep going. Well, it takes about 5 minutes, stretch a little bit, and I'll see you back in about five. You're dismissed.